This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حتى إذا استيأس الرسل وظنوا أنهم قد كذبوا جاءهم نصرنا فنجي من نشاء ولا يرد بأسنا عن القوم المجرمين لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون. We're on the last two ayahs of Surah Yusuf, and the number is 110. It's the first ayah that we're going to discuss inshallah today. In the last lesson, we talked about the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent various prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam to their nations, and we discussed in detail the fact that they were men. And when you say men, it excludes women and it excludes malaika, and the fact is that they were human beings that were sent to guide mankind, and they were sent for a specific amount of time and they tried to guide their people. Now today's ayah, it talks about the conclusion of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's messages. How did they conclude? How did they finish? On some occasions, the people accepted the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they basically got success, and the remainder, they were punished. But for the most part, there was a limited amount of time, a specific amount of time, in which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam invited people. For example, in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, he invited people for 950 years continuously. And after 950 years, he realized that there is nobody going to accept Islam more than the people that have already accepted. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that the people that have already accepted Islam, they are not going to increase more than that. And then after that, he made a dua against his people, which resulted in the punishment. So this is basically what this ayah, the first ayah, is talking about. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. So much so that when the prophets became despondent, استَيْأَسَ is from the word يَئِسَ. يَئِسَ means yas, means to lose hope. So when the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, they lost hope and they realized annahum qad kudhibu, that they were denied, meaning they were denied to such a degree that nobody in their people is accepting Islam anymore. Ja'ahum nasruna, our help came to them. Our help came to them in the form of punishing the people that denied the message of the prophets and saving those people that accepted the message of the prophets. Just like, for example, in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, the people that accepted, they were saved on the ship or the ark that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam built. And this was the case with all the rest of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And our ba's, our punishment, was not returned from the criminal people, meaning the people that were committing the crime of rejecting the message of the Prophet. When the punishment came to them, then it was too late. It was too late for tawbah, it was too late for them to become Muslim. And only punishment came to them. In the case of, for example, Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam invited him for so many years, and he tried to guide him, but he was arrogant, continued to claim that he was God himself, wanted people to worship him instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And finally, as he was drowning, he said, "Amantu annahu la ilaha illa la ilaha illa." I forget the ayah now. It's in the 11th juz. But he said that I have iman in the God of Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Al-an, now, وَقَدْ أَعْصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ." Now you have iman, and before this you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are from the corrupt people. So this was the case with all of the people to whom Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came. That at the end, maybe they tried to accept Islam, but once that punishment came, then it was too late. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Our ba's, our punishment, was not returned from the criminal people, meaning that they were not saved. Finally, in the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes a conclusion, and specifically because the surah, at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this surah as Ahsanul Qasas, the best of the stories. And Allah says in a general form that these stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were not simply stories so that people could enjoy them as stories. Rather, each and every story or each and every incident, each and every event, it had an ibrah, it had a lesson for all of humanity. And we concluding the surah of Yusuf, and in it we had so many lessons. The issue of how far jealousy can take a person. It can even drive a person to kill or try to kill even his blood brother. How evil can come in so many forms, and humans can be tested in so many ways. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was tested. He was tested through slavery. He was tested through the hardships that he went through. He was tested through prison. He was tested through the evil of women that tried to seduce him. But finally, when he passed all of those tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him success in this world and obviously in the hereafter. So the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that are mentioned throughout the Quran, the story of Musa alayhi salam, the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam, the story of Lut alayhi salam, and the story of Hud alayhi salam and the people of Aad, all of these stories, they have lessons for us. For example, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to people who were engaged in business. And in the engagement of their business, they used to cheat people. Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam told them that this is not right. Do not do that. Don't cheat people. You're businessmen, you're traders, but you need to be honest in your trade. When they rejected and they separated themselves, they separated religion from their business. You know, like many people do nowadays. They may come to the masjid 5 times a day or you know, be very generous in their contributions to the masjid, but they feel that the business that they do outside the masjid is separate to what goes on inside the masjid. And this is very far from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made us understand that the business and whatever we do in our whole lives is supposed to be dictated by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be done with honesty, integrity, without any cheating, and without any kind of dealing in interest, and so on. So this was the lesson we learned from the people of Shu'aib, is that business has to be done honestly, and that is even part of our religion. What we learn from the people of Aad, to whom Hud alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, who they used to be very proud of their strength. And they used to say, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa," who is more powerful and more strong than us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, "Awalam yaraw anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa." Did they not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created them, he was much more powerful and much more stronger than them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind to them, سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ, 7 nights and 8 days, this wind blew, and they were lying like broken palm trees. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. This was how Allah destroyed them. So the lesson we learn from this story is our power, our might, that we think is so great, it is nothing in comparison to the power of the one above. And we need to humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship only and only Him. But they were arrogant, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. They were arrogant because of their strength that they perceived to be unbeatable. Then you had the people of Lut alayhi salam. Very common problem that we are facing in this day and age of fitan and trials and tribulations, this issue of increased homosexuality and the acceptance of that, na'udhu billah, from many circles, even from amongst Muslim circles. This is a sin. It has been highlighted as a sin in all previous scriptures, and we understand it to be a sin. When these people followed their base desires, their carnal desires, and they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So the lesson we learn from this is that our desires have to be fulfilled within the confines of Sharia, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to fulfill our needs. Then we have the story of the people of Thamud. They used to excel in building huge palaces and mansions and carving them out of rocks. Again, they were proud of this, and Salih alayhi salam told them to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they remained in their arrogance and disobedience, so much so that they said, show us a miracle. A miracle was shown to them in the form of a she-camel that came out of the rock. Salih alayhi salatu wasalam told them to take care of the she-camel, not to disturb it. Instead, they killed it. And then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down upon them. The lesson we learn from that story is that irrespective of how powerful and how strong and how masterful we become in the things that we do, for example, it's very common in so many Muslim countries nowadays, the issue of building huge buildings and skyscrapers and competing with each other in doing these things. And there is nothing wrong with that, as long as the main focus and the purpose of our existence is not forgotten, which is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as that is implemented, then a person is successful. So time and again these stories came. Stories were mentioned, and these stories were not simply for us to enjoy as a story, rather we need to learn lessons from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in their stories, there was a lesson, عِبْرَةٌ, عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for the people of understanding. The word albab, it is the plural of lub. And lub refers to the fruit of something, the fruit of something which is surrounded by the peel. And basically the fruit of a person and the very existence of a person is in his brain and his understanding, his intellect. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the people of intellect as ulul albab. So indeed, in their stories, the stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a lesson for the people of understanding. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. This was not an innovated thing. There are people nowadays amongst the so-called liberal Christians and Jews that say that these stories that we find in the Bible, they didn't really happen. The great flood of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam didn't really happen. These were just stories that were invented and fabricated with a moral lesson to be learned from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. These were not fabricated things. These were not fabricated stories that were mentioned. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. In fact, these were a confirmation of what came before. Meaning the stories that we read in the Qur'an are a confirmation of the stories that came in previous scriptures. In the Torah, in the Injil. Whatever was mentioned there from these stories, the Qur'an confirms it. تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And this Qur'an, it is a tafsil and a detail for everything. What does that mean, tafsil for everything? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us details. If we are to look for them, look for those details, and go into the fine points of the tafsir of the Qur'an, we'll find so many treasures, so many points that we can learn a lesson from. For example, there is a verse in the Qur'an, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. That's one verse in the Qur'an. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Do not kill your children for fear of poverty, in one verse. And in another verse, do not kill your children because of poverty. So, in one situation, a person is killing his child because he's afraid that he might become poor. He's not poor, but he's afraid that he might become poor. And in another situation, a person is killing his child because he is already poor. So one word in the middle is different. خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ or مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. In two different places in the Qur'an. So two different meanings, two different connotations. The word sabr is mentioned so many places in the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in one place, for example, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Have sabr upon the problems or trials and tribulations that occur to you. So أَصَابَكَ, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, here it refers to those kinds of sabr in which a person is punished by somebody or hurt by somebody and he can take revenge legally through the court system. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have sabr. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word sabr on its own. So that is the type of sabr that happens, for example, to a person who by himself, he became sick. And because of his sickness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him to have sabr. So even the connotation of sabr in different places, it is different. Again, when we look at the wording, we would understand the difference between the two. So there is detail in the Qur'an. There's a story that is kind of interesting. And again, it's a person came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, and said that you claim, or the Qur'an claims, that it is tafsila kulli shay. It has details for everything. So here's a piece of bread. Here's a piece of bread. Can you tell me how many approximately grains of barley were used to bake this bread? So Imam Ahmad, he called the baker in the locality and asked him, and the baker responded to the question that approximately 2 cups of flour, which was, you know, which had X amount of grains of barley. So this is how much was used. So the person said, well, this answer was not in the Quran. You called the baker and he gave you the answer. So Imam Ahmad said, that doesn't the Quran say, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So again, this is what the Quran instructs us. So the answer is found in the Quran. So تَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has detailed everything, but obviously, sometimes you have to look externally to find the tafsil of that and to find the detail of that. And Allah says, it goes on to say, وَهُدًا وَرَحْمًا. This Quran is also a guidance. What is the definition of guidance? Guidance, it is الْوِقَايَةُ مِنَ الشَّرِّ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. It is to save the person from falling into evil who has not yet fallen into it. That's one type of guidance. And a person is basically, he reads the Quran and he takes preventative measures to prevent himself from falling into disobedience and falling into evil. And then there are obviously people who have fallen into sin, who have fallen into disobedience. So also the Quran is عِلَاجٌ لِمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الْمَعْصِيَةِ. It is a cure for those people who have fallen into sin. So this is what the definition of Huda guidance is. It is for everyone. People who are not yet in sin, to prevent them as a preventative measure, and those people that are in sin, to take them out of it. And even to take them out from the biggest sins, like kufr and shirk. وَرَحْمَةً, and it is a mercy, لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, for those people that have iman. And obviously, iman, conviction, faith in the book will result in a mercy. Obviously, if we believe in it, then we'll have the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not have the full conviction of the book, if we do not have full belief in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can we attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So with that, inshallah, we finish the tafsir of Surah Yusuf. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what is being said and heard. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.